in the last 400 years, which means Dad didn't just give me a rare book, but a forbidden one. 400 years of tomes and not a single one. 400 years. But our history spans over 6. Everything is a copy of an earlier work. The only original text in the archives older than 400 years, around the time we fell into war with Poromiel, are the original scrolls from the Unification over 600 years ago. It only takes one desperate generation to change history, even erase it. Gods, Dad spelled it all out for me. He'd always told me scribes hold all the power. Yes, Tarn says as we curb around the last peak. Its jagged top bare of snow from the summer heat, and the mountainside outpost of Athbeen comes into view at the same time as the cliffs of Draelor. One generation to change the text. One generation chooses to teach that text. The next grows, and the lie becomes history. He banks left, following the curve of the mountain, then slows as we approach the outpost's flight field. My hands grip the pommels when we land in front of the looming structure perched on the side of the last peak in this range. Its design is identical to Montserrat, a simple square fortress with 4 towers and walls barely thick enough to launch a dragon. The military is nothing if not uniform. I unbuckle my saddle and slide down his foreleg. And somehow, we're supposed to be able to concentrate on the war games, I mutter, adjusting my pack on my shoulders, thinking about a trading post that may or may not be under attack from mythical creatures soon. The others dismount, and I look back to see Andarna already curled up between Tarn's feet. Zayden walks with Garrick, looking my way with what feels like longing. I gave him everything, and he never truly let me in. Pain rips through my chest with the kind of cut that only heartbreak can give, sharp and jagged. I imagine this is what it feels like to be cleaved apart with a dull, rust-covered blade. It's not honed enough to slice quickly, and there's a 100% chance the wound is going to fester. If I can't trust him, there's no future for us. It's more than tense as the 10 of us walk beneath the open portcullis and into the outpost. The very empty outpost. What the hell? Garrick strides across the courtyard in the center of the structure, looking along the gathering spaces that should line the interior just like Montserrat. Stop, Zayden orders, surveying the walls that rise on every side above us. There's no one here. Divide and search, he glances at me. You don't leave my side. I don't think this is a war game. I start to argue that he couldn't possibly know that, but the whip of wind through the open gate makes me pause. The only sounds in a fortress that should house more than 200 people are our footsteps on the rocky ground. And he's right. Everything feels off. Awesome, I reply with more than a small dose of sarcasm, and everyone but Liam, who's my shadow once again, scatters in groups of 2 or 3 climbing various staircases. This way, Zayden says, beelining for the southwest tower. We climb and climb, finally reaching the top of the 4th floor where the door leads us to an open-air observation point that overlooks the valley below, including the Peromish trading post. This is one of the most strategic garrisons we man, I say, looking for any sight of the infantry and riders who should be here. There's no way they'd abandon it for war games. That's exactly what I'm afraid of. Zayden looks out over the valley, then narrows his eyes on the trading post 1,000 feet below. Liam. On it. Liam moves forward, leaning on the stone battlement as he focuses on the structure in the distance beneath us. The trading post is maybe a 20-minute walk along the wide, gravelly path winding down the mountainside our outpost is perched on. The roofs of several buildings just poke out above the circular stone wall of its defenses, a drift of griffins and their flyers approaching from the south. Zayden turns on me, and the look in his eyes is anything but welcoming. "What did Dane say to you before we left?" He leaned in and whispered something. I blink, trying to remember. He said something like, "I search my memory." "I'll miss you, Violet." His body goes tense. "And he said I was going to get you killed."
"Yes, but he always says that," I shrug. "What would Dane have to do with emptying an entire outpost?"
"I have something," Garrick calls from the southeast tower, holding what looks to be an envelope as he and Imogen cross the thick rampart, coming in our direction.
"Did you tell him about my trips here?" Zayden questions, his eyes hardening.
"No," I shake my head. "Unlike some people, I never hid anything from you." He draws back, his gaze shifting left and right as he thinks before settling on me again and widening.
"Violence," he says softly. "Did Atos touch you after I told you about Athbine?"
"What?" My brow furrows, and I shove an errant strand of hair out of my face as the wind swirls around us.
"Like this," he lifts his hand to my cheek. "His power requires touching someone's face. Did he touch you like this?"
My lips part. "Yes, but that's how he always touches me. He would never," I sputter. "I would know if he read my memories."
Zayden's face falls, and his hand slips downward, cradling the back of my neck.
"No, Violence. Trust me, you wouldn't." There's no accusation in his tone, just a resignation that hurts what's left of my heart.
"He wouldn't," I shake my head.
"Dane is a lot of things, but he would never violate me like that, never take something I hadn't offered."
"Except he tried once."
"It's addressed to you," Garrick says, handing the envelope to Zayden. Zayden drops his hand from my face and breaks the seal. I can read the lettering as he opens the missive. "War Games for Zayden Ryerson, Wing Leader of Fourth Wing." I recognize the handwriting. How could I not when I've seen it all my life? "That's from Colonel Atos."
"What does it say?" Garrick asks, folding his arms over his chest. "What's our assignment?"
"Guys, I see something just past the trading post," Liam says from the battlement.
"Oh, shit."
Zayden's face drains of all color, and he crumples the missive in his fist before looking at me.
"It says our mission is to survive if we can."
"Oh, gods. Dane read my memories without my permission. He must have told his father to where they've been sneaking off. I've unknowingly betrayed Zayden, betrayed them all."
"That's not," Garrick shakes his head.
"Guys, this is bad," Liam shouts, and Imogen races to his side.
"This isn't your fault," Zayden says to me, then rips his gaze from mine and turns to his friends, who are running down the ramparts to join us.
"We've been sent here to die."
Chapter 36. A quote from The Wyvern's Cry, The Fables of the Baron.
"For there, in the land beyond the shadows, where monsters that dwelled in the night and dined on the souls of children who wandered too close to the woods." Zayden hands Garrick the missive, and the rest of us rush to the battlements to see what we're up against. But I can't spot any threat in the valley below or the plains that stretch beyond for miles before the cliffs of Draelor.
"Something is off," Tarn says. "I felt it at the lake, but it's stronger here."
"Can you pinpoint what it is?" I reply as panic creeps up my throat. "If Dane's dad knows Zayden and the others have been supplying weapons to the Griffin Flyers, there's every chance this is an execution."
"It's coming from the valley below." I can't see shit down there, Bodhi says, leaning over the edge of the masonry. Well, I can, Liam replies. And if those are what I think they are, we're fucked. Don't tell me what you think they are. Tell me what you're sure of, Zayden orders. The letter says this is a test of your command, the section leader reads behind us. You have the choice of abandoning the village of our enemy or abandoning command of your wing. What the hell does that mean? Bodhi reaches back and takes the letter. They're testing our loyalty without actually saying it. Zayden folds his arms over his chest, standing at my side. According to the missive, if we leave now, we'll make it to the new location of headquarters for Fourth Wing at El Tuval in time to carry out our orders for war games. But if we leave, the trading post of Resin and its occupants will be destroyed. By what? Imogen asks. Venin, Liam responds. My stomach drops. You're positive? Zayden asks. Liam nods. As sure as I can be without having actually seen them before. Four of them, purple robes, distended red veins spidering all around bright red eyes, creepy as shit. Sounds about right. Zayden's weight shifts. I liked it better when we just delivered the weapons, Bodhi mutters. Oh, and one guy with a giant ass staff, Liam continues. And I swear to Dune, one second the plane was clear, and the next they were just there, walking toward the gates. His eyes are wide, his pupils blown as he uses his signet to see the bottom of the valley. Red veins? Imogen asks. Because magic corrupts their blood as they lose their souls, I murmur, looking up at Zayden, wondering if he remembers what Andarna said the night we took the tunnel to the flight field. Nature likes everything in balance. Every head but Liam's swings my way. If the fables are true, at least. A part of me hopes they are, or I know next to nothing about the enemy below. Of course, if they're true. Seven griffins have landed next to us, Taryn tells me. Everyone else stiffens, no doubt receiving the same message from their dragons. Andarna, stay with Taryn, I say. Zayden must trust the flyers, but Andarna is damn near defenseless. All right, she answers. The guy with the staff just, Liam starts. An explosion sounds, echoing up the sparsely treed valley, followed by a plume of blue smoke. My heart jolts at the sight. Those were the gates, he finishes. How many people live in Resin? Bodhi asks. More than 300, Imogen answers as another boom cracks through the valley. That's the post they do the yearly trades at. Then let's get down there, Bodhi turns and Zayden steps back, blocking his path with an outstretched hand. You're kidding me, right? We have no idea what we're walking into. Zayden's tone reminds me of that first day after Parapet. He's in full command mode. So we should just stand here while civilians die? Bodhi questions, and I tense. We all do, watching Zayden. That's not what I'm saying, Zayden shakes his head. He has to choose. That's what the War Games missive said. He can abandon that village, or his command, who's now waiting for him at El Tuval. This isn't a fucking training exercise, Bodhi. Some, if not all of us, are going to die if we go down there. If we'd been assigned to an active wing, there would be far older, more experienced leadership making this decision, but there aren't. If we weren't marked with rebellion relics, if we hadn't been aiding the enemy, his gaze darts to mine briefly, we wouldn't even be here with this choice. So all command structure aside, what are your thoughts? We have the numbers, Soleil says, narrowing her brown eyes on the field and tapping her bright green fingernails rhythmically on the stone crenellations of the battlement. And air superiority. At least there aren't any wyvern. I scan the skies just to be sure. What? Bodhi's eyebrows rise. Wyvern. Fables say Venon created them to compete with dragons and, instead of channeling from them, channel power into them. Let's hope there's something in that book that isn't true.
Yeah, let's not borrow trouble. Zayden shoots a look sideways at me, then studies the sky.
There are 4 Venon and 10 of us, Garrick says, walking away from the edge of the battlement.
We have the weapons to kill them, Liam says, turning his back on the valley. And Day told me 7 griffin flyers.
We're here, the older brunette from the lake says, striding down the battlement from the southeast corner of the outpost. I left the rest of the drift outside once we noticed that your outpost seems to be abandoned.
She glances over the rampart at the clouds of smoke rising from the valley beneath with a look of resignation, her shoulders dipping.
I'm not going to ask you to fight with us.
You're not?
Garrick's eyebrows rise.
No.
She gives him a sad smile. 4 of them is tantamount to a death sentence. The rest of my drift are making peace with our gods.
She turns towards Zayden.
I came to tell you to leave. You have no clue what they're capable of wielding. It only took 2 of them to bring down an entire city last month. 2 of them. We lost 2 drifts trying to stop them. If there's 4 down there, she shakes her head. They're after something, and they're going to kill every single person in Resin to get it. Take your riot and go home while you can.
Fear squeezes my chest, but my heart aches at the thought of leaving them to die. It goes against everything we stand for, even if they aren't Navarian civilians.
We have dragons, Imogen says, her pitch rising. Surely that has to count for something. We're not afraid to fight.
Are you afraid to die? Have any of you seen combat?
The brunette's gaze sweeps over us. And suddenly, I feel young as we reply with our silence.
Thought not. Your dragons do count for something. They can fly you far and fast. Dragonfire won't kill them. Only the daggers you've been bringing. And we have those. She looks at Zayden. Thank you for everything you've done. You've kept us alive these last couple of years and given us a fighting chance.
You're going down there to die. Zayden says matter-of-factly.
Yes, she nods as another explosion sounds. Get your riot out of here, fast.
Pivoting on her heel,
she strides back down the rampart, her head held high before she disappears into the tower on the opposite end.
Zayden's jaw clenches, and I can see the battle raging in his eyes. An unbearable heaviness settles in my stomach. If we leave, they'll all die. Every civilian, every flyer. We won't have killed them, but we'll be complicit in their deaths all the same. If we fight, we'll likely die with them. We can live as cowards or die as riders.
Zayden's shoulders straighten, and the rock in my stomach turns to nausea. He's made a decision. I can see it in the lines of his face, the resolve in his posture. Sigale says she has never run from a fight, and today will not be the first. And I'm not going to stand by while innocent people are dying either.
He shakes his head.
But I'm not going to order any of you to join me. I'm responsible for all of you. None of you crossed that parapet because you wanted to, none of you. You crossed it because I made a deal. I'm the one who forced you into the quadrant. So I won't think less of anyone who wants to fly for El Tuval instead. Make your choice.
He tears his hand through his hair.
I don't want you in harm's way.
In a perfect world, that would be all I need to hear. If the others get to make a choice, then so do I.
His jaw flexes.
We're riders, Imogen says as another explosion sounds. We defend the defenseless. That's what we do.
You saved every single one of us here, cousin,
Bodhi says, and we're thankful. Now I'd like to do what we've trained for, and if it means I don't go home, then I guess my soul will be commended to Malik. I wouldn't mind seeing my mother anyway. I'll tell you the same thing I did after threshing our first year, when we decided to start smuggling weaponry out. Garrick says, you kept us alive all these years. We get to decide how we die. I'm with you.
Exactly, Soleil says, drumming her fingertips just above the dagger sheathed at her thigh. I'm in.
Liam steps forward so he stands at my side. We watched as our parents were executed because they had the courage to do the right thing. I'd like to think my death would be just as honorable. My chest tightens. Their parents died to expose the truth, while mine sacrificed my brother to keep this heinous secret.
Agreed, Imogen nods. They all do. One by one, everyone agrees until there's only me.
Zayden captures my gaze.
If you think you'll ever convince a Sorengale to risk their neck for anyone outside their own borders, then you're a fool.
Isn't that what the flyer said at the lake?
Fuck that.
Tern? It's not just me going to war.
We will feast on their bones, Silver One.
Graphic, but point made. I will not leave innocent people to die, no matter what side of the border they live on. I will not let my squad mates risk their lives while I run, despite the plea I see in Zayden's eyes. At least Rhiannon and Sawyer and Riddick aren't here. They'll live to be second years. Mira will understand. I have no doubt that she would do the same. And as for Mom, the dagger on her desk means she knows and has done nothing to stop it. Guess I'll be the second child she sacrifices to keep the existence of Venon a secret.
I've been defenseless, I tell Zayden, lifting my chin. And now I'm a rider. Riders fight. The others shout in agreement. 1,000 emotions cross his face, but Zayden only nods as he walks toward the battlements.
Liam, give me a report.
His foster brother moves to his side and focuses. The flyers are engaged, all 7. 6 of them. Looks like they're trying to draw fire away from the civilians, but damn, the Venon are wielding a kind of fire I've never seen among riders. 3 surround the city, and 1 is making his way toward a structure in the middle, a clock tower. Zayden nods, then divides us according to objectives. Garrick and Soleil will do a perimeter sweep for reconnaissance, while the rest of us target the Venon on various sides of Resson, keeping an eye on the advance on the clock tower as we near it on each pass through town.
The only way to take them out is by dagger.
That means we'll have to dismount and fight once we get the townspeople to whatever safety we can find,
Garrick adds, his face set in grim lines.
Don't throw your only weapons unless you're certain of your aim.
Zayden nods.
Save as many people as you can. Let's go.
We make our way down the steps and through the silent courtyard, Zayden leading the way. When we emerge from the outpost, our dragons wait, all perched on the edge of the ridgeline, shifting their weight in agitation as they survey the trading post below. I walk directly between Tern and Sigale.
I knew you'd make the right choice, Sigale says, glancing toward where Zayden approaches with Liam, their footsteps dangerously close to the cliffside at my left.
He did too. Even if he doesn't like you putting yourself in danger, he knew you would.
Well, he knows me a great deal better than I know him. I lift a brow at her. She blinks.
You're a far cry from the trembling girl who stood in the courtyard and tried to mask her fear after Parapet.
I approve.
I wasn't asking for your approval.
If I'm going to die, I might as well be honest in my last moments. She chuffs and nudges Taren's head with hers, but he's solely focused on the trading post. The rocky terrain crunches under my boots as I walk beneath Tern to where Andarna stands between his forelegs, watching the attack unfold beneath us. I put myself right in front of her, blocking her view of what has to be carnage.
Stay here and hide.
I'm not taking a kid into battle, period.
Stay here,
she grumbles sarcastically in response. I bite back a sad smile. It's really too bad I won't get to see her go through her rebellious adolescent years.
Agreed, Tarn dips a shoulder for me. You're a target, little one.
I mean it, I order Andarna, stroking my hand over her scaly nose. If we're not back by morning, or if you think Venon are approaching, you fly home to the Vale. Get behind the wards no matter what. Her nostrils flare.
I'm not leaving you.
My chest hurts so badly, I fight the urge to rub the area above my heart, but I square my shoulders instead. It has to be said. You'll feel the moment when you'll know that there's nothing to leave. And it might break your heart, but when you feel it, you fly. Promise me you'll fly. Heartbeats pass before Andarna finally nods. Go, I whisper, stroking her beautiful jaw one last time. She'll be fine. She'll make it back to the Vale. I can't let myself believe any differently. She turns around and heads for the outpost, and I pull my shit together and walk between Tarn's forelegs, taking one last quick look at the valley. Zayden and Liam stand to my right doing the same. A screech rends the air, and an enormous gray dragon emerges from a valley two ridgelines to the south, across the Peromish border. It tucks its two legs up under its massive body, and it flies away from us, heading straight for Resin.
Do we have a riot nearby? Liam asks.
No, Zayden answers.
It's as though the ground beneath my feet shifts. I could have sworn I saw a riot of dragons across the border. Isn't that what Mira said at Montserrat?
The dragon shrieks again, spewing a streak of blue fire down the mountainside, setting some of the smaller trees on fire before it reaches the plains where Resin stands.
Blue fire.
No, no, no.
Wyvern, my heart launches into my throat. Zayden, it has two legs, not four. It's not a dragon, it's a wyvern. Maybe if I say it a few more times, I'll believe what I'm seeing. Holy shit, is this what leadership has been redacting? They're supposed to be myth, not flesh and blood beings. But then again, so are Venon.
Well, there went our air superiority, Imogen says across from us, then shrugs. Fuck 'em, they can die too.
They have created abominations,
Tarn says, a low growl rumbling in his chest.
Did you know?
I suspected. Why do you think I've been so hard on you during flight maneuvers?
You and I are going to have to work on our communication skills.
Guess we know all the details now, Liam says. Anyone want to change their minds? Zayden asks down the line. None of us answer. No? Then mount up.
I walk toward Tarn's shoulder as Zayden strides over to me.
Turn around, Violence, he orders, and I pivot, looking up at him.
He unsheathes one of his daggers and slides it in the empty spot I have at my ribs.
Now you have two.
You're not going to lecture me about staying safe in the outpost? I ask, my emotions rioting at his nearness. He hid all of this from me, and yet my chest aches just looking at him.
If I asked you to stay behind, would you?
His eyes bore into mine. No?
Exactly. I try not to pick fights I know I can't win.
My eyes flare. Speaking of knowing you'll win fights, General Melgrin will know what's happened here. He'll be able to see the outcome of the battle even now.
He shakes his head slowly and points to his neck, to the rebellion relic snaking around his throat. Do you remember how I told you I realized it was a gift, not a curse?
Yes,
back when I was in his bed. Just trust me. Because of this, Melgrin can't see a fucking thing.
My lips part, remembering Melgrin saying he liked to lay eyes on Zayden once a year.
Any other secrets you're keeping from me? Yes. He cups my neck and leans into my space. Stay alive, and I promise I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
The simple confession makes my heart clench,
As angry as I am, I can't imagine a world without him in it. I need you to survive this, even if I hate that I still love you.
I can live with that.
A corner of his mouth lifts as he drops his hand and turns away from me, heading towards Sigail. Tarn dips his shoulder again and I mount, settling into the saddle and strapping my thighs in after I secure my pack behind the seat.
It's time.
Find a good hiding place, Endarna. I can't stand the thought of you being hurt.
Go for the throat, she says, walking into the abandoned outpost.
Sigail launches to my right, and I hold the pommels tight when Tarn springs skyward with great, heavy beats of his wings.
There's something in that trading post. We all feel it, Tarn says as he banks with Sigail, plummeting from the ridgeline into a steep dive that leaves my stomach behind.
The saddle straps dig into my thighs, but they do their job and keep me seated as I lower my riding goggles to shield my eyes from the wind. We fly into the shade, the sun sinking behind the cliffs of Draelor and throwing the afternoon into shadow. Another explosion hits, this time taking out a chunk of the post's high stone walls as Tarn pulls up, narrowly missing a griffin rider and bringing us level across the post, flying too fast to hear anything more than the screams of townspeople as they run through the streets, fleeing for the exodus at the post gates.
Where did the wyvern go? I ask Tarn. Retreated into the valley. Don't worry. It will come back.
Oh, joy. My gaze sweeps the rooftops of the little post until I see it. Him, whatever. There's a figure standing at the top of a wooden clock tower, wearing purple floor-length robes that billow in the wind while he hurls blue flames like daggers at the civilians below. He's more terrifying than any illustrator could have depicted. Rivers of red veins fanning in every direction around soulless eyes consumed by magic. His face is gaunt, with sharp cheekbones and thin lips, a gnarled hand gripping a long red cane made of some misshapen wood.
Tarn! Yes, let's.
Tarn banks away from Sigail, pulling us in a hard turn and taking us into the village. A few beats of his wings later, fire streams from his mouth, and he incinerates the clock tower on a flyby.
Got him!
I turn in the saddle watching as the wooden structure collapses in the blast. It's only a matter of seconds before the Venon walks out of the flames, though, and there isn't a scratch on him.
Oh, fuck, he's still there!
I call out as we cut back across the post to get to our assigned area, mentally kicking myself for thinking it could have been that simple. There's a reason these creatures are what make up most Navarian's nightmare stories. And it isn't because they're easy to kill. We have to get close enough to get a dagger in him. I turn forward just in time to see a giant mass of wings and teeth cut across our path with an ear-splitting screech, and Tarn's tail smashes into the stone walls behind me, knocking the masonry loose as he dodges the wyvern. We just barely evade the hissing curl of blue fire that streams from its mouth, catching a nearby tree on fire.
The wyvern is back! That's a different one! Tarn barks. I'm relaying orders to the others.
Of course he is. Zayden might command the riders on this field, but Tarn is clearly leading the dragons. The wyvern swings around and heads toward the town's center, tucking up two legs and beating spider-webbed wings. It bears a female rider in maroon flight gear that resembles our own, and her eyes are the same eerie red color as the Venon on the clock tower.
Zayden, there's more than one wyvern.
There's a moment of silence, but I can feel Zayden's palpable shock, then rage.
If you get separated from Tarn, call out, then fight until I get there. No chance of that happening. I'm not letting her off my back, wing leader.
Tarn growls as I get my first good look at the airspace above the city, flooded with dragons, griffins, and wyvern, just like in the creation fable.
Soleil found a sealed entrance to what looks to be a mine, Zayden says.
Tarn turns abruptly, veering towards the mountains.
You to see if you can put down some cover so Garrick and Bodhi can get the townspeople evacuated, he finishes. Liam is on his way.
On it, my pulse leaps. Tarn, I can't aim.
You will,
he says like it's a foregone conclusion.
Orders are being dispersed amid the griffins.
Dragons can speak to griffins? My eyebrows shoot up.
Naturally.
How do you think we communicated before humans got involved?
I hunker down across his neck as we dart above the city, passing over a clinic, what looks to be a school, and rows of an open-air market that's currently on fire. There's no sign of the purple-robed Venin we first saw as we sail over the shriveled body of a griffin and its rider near the center of town. My stomach turns, especially when I see a wyvern circling back toward them, and Sigale is on an intercept course.
She can hold her own, Taryn reminds me, and so can he. We have orders. Focus.
Focus. Right. We pass families scurrying from their ruined homes, then over the city walls, heading toward the opening in the side of the mountain where Soleil's brown clubtail swings its tail into the wood planks covering the abandoned tunnel. There are a few outbuildings lining the road, but not much else. Taryn pulls hard to the left as we approach, the strap digging into my legs as my weight shifts in the saddle with the abrupt motion. Then he flares his wings to hover in front of Soleil, facing Resin and the screaming crowd that runs the 100 yards between the city walls and us, led by a pair of griffins and their flyers who continuously look behind them, scanning the skies. But what they don't see is the Venin striding our way from north of the gate, watching the crowd's movement with a narrowed red gaze. The veins on both sides of her eyes are more pronounced than the earlier riders. And her long blue robe reminds me of the staff bearer who survived the clock tower blast.
I've already told Fuel. She'll protect Soleil,
Taryn says, angling toward the threat. Get us away from the crowd. Power already sizzles beneath my skin. A child stumbles on the dirt road, and my heart lurches as her father scoops her into his arms and continues to sprint. Day passes, and I see him land out of the corner of my eye as I lift my arms and let my power rip free, focusing on the Venin.
Lightning cracks. A section of the city wall crumbles. Fuck. Keep going. Day says they need more time,
Taryn urges. I make the mistake of turning in the saddle, noting that both Liam and Soleil are unseated, ushering the townspeople into the mine, while Day and Fuel guard separate sides of the evacuation path. If anything happens, if one of those wyverns circling the town decides to take notice, they're vulnerable. But so are the people they're protecting. A trio of griffins flies in, all three dangling townspeople from their talons, dropping them off at the entrance to the mine and looping back for another run. Energy rips through me as I aim a bolt for the Venin, this one shattering an outbuilding along the hillside to our right. Boards split and wood flies as it collapses. The Venin's attention whips upward and my stomach twists when she spots me. There's pure malice in her red eyes as she reaches forward with her left hand, then flips it, fisting air. Rocks tumble down the mountainside. Soleil throws up her hands, stopping the slide before it can crush the people running into the mine below. Her arms shake, but the boulders fall on either side of the evacuation path, leaving the escape clear. I whip back toward the Venin and gasp. Raw power is palpable in the air, lifting the hairs on my arms as the Venin stands with her palms lowered to the ground. The grass around her turns brown. Then the flowers of the wild clover bushes wilt and the leaves curl, losing all their color.
Taryn, is she...
Channeling,
he growls. I fling another flare of energy as the blight spreads outward from the Venin, as though she's draining the very essence of the land. But it hits too close to the road, and the straggler racing towards safety for my comfort.
Watch out. Day says that building on the other side of the road has a crate of something marked with Liam's family crest,
Taryn tells me as I fire off another blast that lands nowhere near the Venin.
He says it's highly... unstable, he finishes, pausing as he relays the information.
Not worried about the building, I reply as the circle of death expands under Taryn's beating wings, and I draw more power from Taryn, poising to strike again. Soleil charges toward the Venin with Fuel on her heels, her dagger palmed and ready as the rest of the group of townspeople make it into the tunnel. This is all worth it as long as they survive. The wave of death pushes forward from the Venin, flowing outward and catching up with the fleeing civilian in the middle of the road.
He falls, then screams soundlessly, curling in on himself as his body becomes nothing but a husk of a shell. Air freezes in my lungs and my heart stutters. The venom just... Soleil! I yell, but it's already too late. The third year stumbles a few steps into the dead zone, her dragon reaching for her as they both buckle and fall, fuel throwing up a cloud of dirt with her heavy impact. They desiccate in a matter of seconds, their bodies shriveling. A vice clamps around my chest, and for a second, I can't breathe. The venom has even more power now. Tell Day! I look back over my shoulder to see Liam sprinting for Day. He needs time.
Already done.
Tern rolls left as a fireball churns up at us, the first of a volley that causes us to retreat across the road. We lost Soleil, I tell Zayden. The only acknowledgement is a wave of sorrow, and I know it's his. The griffins take flight, their riders wielding what looks to be lesser magic at the venin as two wyvern approach, both riderless. Tell them to change tactics. They don't stand a chance if they can't get close to that venin, I tell Tern. The griffins change course, and I loose my power again, hitting closer to the venin. She glares up at me, then turns at the sound of flapping wings. Garrick and the other marked third years are coming. She's outnumbered, and damn, I hope she knows it. The griffins team up, tearing into one of the approaching wyvern as Liam mounts and Day launches, escaping the spreading ring of death. But the other wyvern dips low, heading for the venin, right on course to pass by the outbuilding. You said that building has unstable material in it, right? I ask.
Yes.
I can't be sure I'll hit it, but...
Excellent idea.
Tern puts us into position, hovering about 20 feet above ground as Liam flies for the griffins above us, wielding spears of ice into the injured wyvern's throat. Blood streams as the wyvern falls from the sky with an ear-piercing cry.
One down.
The venin reaches the road, and the wyvern skids to a landing on the dirt path so she can mount. Now! I shout. Tern breathes in deep and exhales pure fire as the wyvern takes off, sending the outbuilding up in a blaze that ignites whatever is within. Heat rushes my face, singeing my cheek as the building explodes, engulfing everything around it. The firestorm nearly catches us, but Tern banks left, narrowly missing the blast. I shout, throwing up my fist as we circle back, the wind easing the sting in my cheek. We have one wyvern down, a good share of the townspeople evacuated, and there's no way anything survived that blast. Tern dips his right wing low, and we turn sharply, getting set up to make another run through town. I glance to the right and gasp. Not only did that blast not kill the wyvern, but its rider is alive and well too, flying toward... Shit, shit, shit. There are more wyvern than dragons exiting the valley to the south. And I'm trying hard not to panic when blazing hot blue fire streams past us. I pivot in the saddle and see a wyvern on our tail approaching frighteningly fast as we circle the post walls. Any idea how to kill that many wyvern? I ask Tern, panic sitting on my chest like an anchor that threatens to pull me under into the chaos of my thoughts. There are at least six wyvern. From what I can see, all with terrifying wingspan and sharp teeth, and they're heading straight for us. The same methods that can kill us, Tern says, leading the wyvern away from the post's center, where Garrick and Bodhi are both on foot, chasing down the venin from the clock tower, daggers in hand. I don't exactly have a crossbolt handy.
No, but you do have lightning, and a bolt of that will stop any dragon's heart.
Tell me you warned the others how Soleil and Fuel died. Everyone touching the ground is vulnerable.
They all know what they risk.
Gods, there are still kids down there, some screaming, others heartbreakingly silent as their mothers drag their dead bodies from the streets.
There are no words.
We need to draw them away from the city, I tell Zayden, turning back in the saddle as far as the bands across my thighs will let me to get a better vantage point of the airspace and the wyvern, some of which seem to have slowed in order to circle the remains of the clock tower.
Whatever they want must be there, Tern says.
Agreed on both counts. Do what you can to give the rest time to evacuate, Zayden responds. We're clearing the edge of town now.
He pauses, and a ripple of worry pushes through our emotional barrier.
Try not to die.
Working on it. A wyvern dives only to climb again with a human leg hanging from between its teeth. We circle back, then head south through the trading post, away from the city center and whatever Bodhi and Garrick are doing.
They're not following,
Tarn grunts.
We'll need to draw them out.
That Venon didn't seem to like when I wielded lightning.
You're a threat.
So let's get their attention and threaten. He growls in approval. I open the floodgates of Tarn's power, letting it roil and billow beneath my skin. As soon as we're outside the walls, I throw my hands up and let it burst free. Lightning streaks the sky, earning us the notice of the horde of wyvern, one of which peels off its flight pattern and soars in our direction, its poison-barbed tails flicking behind it.
Maybe this wasn't the best idea. We're committed now, Tarn reminds me.
Right. They're finally outside the city walls. I summon more power and wield, my arms trembling with the effort to control the deluge of raw energy. Lightning strikes once, missing the wyvern by more than I'd like to admit. Dread fills my mouth with the taste of ash. I'm not ready for this.
Try again.
I don't have enough control.
Try again,
Tarn demands. I wield again, ripping down the walls between Tarn and me, and more of the energy he channels rips through me. Lightning splits the dusk-hued sky in a blast so bright I blink.
Again!
I let the power overcome me again and again, concentrating on the location of the wyvern as Tarn dodges blasts of blue fire. Finally, a strike hits the one behind us, dropping him from the sky. It hits the hillside with a satisfying crash. What about the Venon it's bonded to? I tremble with the effort of controlling the power, fighting to keep it from overtaking me. Sweat drips down my face.
Hopefully they're like us. Kill the wyvern and the rider dies, but it's hard to tell with so many riderless ones.
Hopefully isn't the best word right now. I turn in the saddle and watch in horror as two more riderless wyvern fly out of the valley. The civilians need more time to reach the mine. Let's give it to them. Tarn growls in agreement and we speed back over the post. Zayden has one wyvern by the throat, strangling it with shadows as a third year hurls ice at its rider, and the other four are doing everything they can to drive the newcomers back with a combination of dragon fire and magic. Power jolts through me in wave after burning wave as I wield more lightning than I ever have in practice. I swing my arm around and aim another bolt at a wyvern flying near the front gate, or what used to be the front gate. I miss the wyvern, but hit an empty tower, sending stone flying in all directions, a large chunk hitting a wyvern in the tail and causing it to spin in midair. Tarn banks another hard turn, and we come back around. I take a deep breath, then call a lightning bolt. This one, striking a wyvern directly in its upper back with a satisfying sizzle. The giant beast shrieks, then smashes into a nearby hillside with a thunderous boom. Coming back around again for another pass, and heady from my recent kill, I throw out three more bolts of lightning in quick succession. Unfortunately, more speed doesn't translate to more accuracy, and the adrenaline rush isn't helping my aim either. I manage to cause three more alarming explosions, though, one of which distracts a rather large wyvern that had been on Bodhi's tail, giving him a moment's advantage, which his dragon seizes by banking hard left and coming up behind the wyvern and sinking its teeth into its leathery gray neck. There's an ominous crack, and then Bodhi's dragon releases the wyvern's lifeless body, letting it fall to the ground 50 feet below. On the left! I shout as two more wyvern come into view on our rear flank. I leave the evasive maneuvers up to Tarn and concentrate on bringing down as many strikes as possible as the wyvern gains speed on us. My arms tremble, growing weaker and weaker with each bolt I try to control to keep from hitting our own riders. Sigale is on the west side of the outpost, and my heart crawls into my throat when she flies low, and Zayden does an impressive running jump off her back, landing with a roll onto the street below. Almost immediately, shadows pull in every direction and cover the people screaming as they try to run for cover from the snarling jaws of a hungry wyvern.
One of the wyvern on my tail must notice Zayden out of the saddle, because it tucks its wings for a moment, diving for the ground, only to widen them and pull out at the last minute, gliding mere feet above the silky shadows. Shit, it's heading straight for Zayden, its jaws opening wide as though it plans to just snatch Zayden up like a quick bite to eat. Zayden! I scream out loud, but he's already noticed the wyvern, throwing a rope of shadows high above the building in a perfect lasso around Sigale's head, and she yanks him up off the ground and out of the path of the oncoming wyvern. 1 minute Zayden is dangling from the shadowy rope, and the next he's back in his saddle as Sigale banks for another low pass through town. But I was so focused on Zayden, I completely forgot about the wyvern on my own tail. Taryn hasn't, though, and starts to climb higher and higher, leading the wyvern from the post as he gains altitude nauseatingly fast. Violence! Zayden screams. Beneath you! I look down and gasp. A stream of blue fire billows up toward us. Bank! Taryn rolls left, and my ass leaves the saddle, held in only by the straps as he rolls us upside down to narrowly avoid the blast. But when he straightens, the wyvern is still on us. My heart lurches into my throat as its mouth gapes open, its sharp, bloodied teeth snapping as it lunges for Taryn's side. No! I lift my arms to throw a bolt in its direction and prepare for impact. A blur of blue shoots between us, and the wyvern is knocked away by the body of a navy dragon, Sigale. Her jaws tear through the side of the wyvern in several rapid, brutal bites, flesh ripping and blood spraying in the most vicious mid-air meal I have ever seen. Then she flips and catches the devoured wyvern by the head with her dagger tail, sending its dead body sailing several hundred feet before crashing to the ground. Sigale picks up speed, banks, and flies right by us, her wing gliding under Taryn's almost affectionately, which is in complete contrast to the menacing glare that seems directed at me, wyvern blood still dripping from her jaws. Message received. It's her job to keep an eye on Zayden's back, and it's mine to watch Taryn's. I do a quick turn in my saddle, checking all our sides for more wyvern, then tell Taryn, let's climb so we can get a better count of what we're facing. We've barely made it 100 feet above the town when I spy Liam and Day flying hard and fast in the opposite direction, with a Venon riding a wyvern on his tail. Liam needs help, I rush to explain. On it, Taryn says, flipping us in midair. We hang in the sky for a second before his massive wings catch the air and turn us so that we're heading straight for Liam. The Venon raises a staff of some sort, sending balls of blue flame at Day, but he manages to avoid them all as Liam stands up and runs along Day's spine toward his dagger tail. At the last second, Day uses his tail to whip Liam up into the air toward the wyvern. I don't even have time to scream before he lands in a crouch on the wyvern's rear and pulls out one of the runed daggers like the two Zayden gave me. The Venon whips around, raising his staff, but Liam is brutally fast and slits the Venon's throat with sickening precision. The wyvern stops beating its wings within seconds, its heavy body free-falling to the ground, and Liam leaps from his back just as Day flies beneath, easily catching him. A wyvern flies at us from the left, approaching with great beats of its wings. Taryn! Power fills my veins and I lift my hands, but Taryn rolls, flipping my world upside down as he rakes his claws and Morningstar tail along the wyvern from throat to tail, splitting it open in midair, then leveling out as the wyvern streaks a bloody path to the ground. The rush in my head is a result of more than Taryn's acrobatics. For the first time since we agreed to try to defend the civilians in this trading post, since we were told there were 4 Venon and no way we could win, a little bit of panic sitting on my chest starts to ease. We might actually be able to survive today. Maybe. Just then, another wyvern drops out of a cloud above us, diving at Taryn, gaining speed as it tucks in its wings, becoming a teeth-tipped spear. There's no time for evasive maneuvers. It's seconds away, but red fills my vision and Day is there, driving into the side of the massive gray beast. There's no breath of relief as the collision sends Liam hurtling off Day's back and across the base of Taryn's neck at breakneck velocity.
Violet! Liam! I catch his scrambling hands as he slides by and hold on, a cry escaping as my shoulders pop and subluxate from the strain of catching his weight. And Tarn pitches in a sharp turn to follow Day. Hold on! Grimacing, Liam crawls forward on his elbows despite the impossible angle, then grasps the pommels of the saddle. I throw myself over him, sheltering his head and holding on with everything I have as Tarn rolls and banks to keep close but clear of Day and the massive gray wyvern. Locked in battle only a few feet away, their talons shred through the scales of the other amid snapping teeth and Day's catastrophic roars of pain. They're too close for me to act, and there's no guarantee I'll hit the wyvern and not Day with my lightning. There's nothing I can do but secure Liam. Grabbing the lap belt I never use, I wind it around Liam's torso and buckle it. That should hold you until we can get you back to Day, but I can't wield without hitting him, I yell as wind whips around us. The agony in his eyes steals my breath. Why did you do that? I cry, my fingers searching for purpose on his leathers to pull him closer. I settle for the back of his collar and yank. Why would you risk it? Gods, if anything happens to them. His gaze collides with mine.
That thing was going to take a chunk out of Tarn. You've saved my life, and now it's my turn. No matter what you think of me for keeping secrets, we're friends, Violet.
Response is impossible as Tarn rolls again, lifting Liam's entire body, and the leather belt slips to just under his arms. I fist my hands in the back of his flight leathers, but there's not much to grab onto. Heartbeats pass and I can't breathe, can't think past the desperation to keep Liam safe, until Tarn levels out again, trying to stay as close as he can to Day without risking any of us in the process. But then, Day's scream slices me to the bone as the two lock into a dive. Can't you do something? I beg Tarn.
Working on it!
He pitches right and plummets, positioning himself around the downward spiraling duel to strike. It should be us fighting for our lives, not Liam and Day. And gods, Day is losing, which means Liam... My throat constricts. No, not going to happen. Get over here! I shout at Zayden. Energy crackles through my hands, but there's no clear target. They're moving too fast.
I'm hunting the venom at the walls, he answers.
Day is fighting for his life! The heartbeat of terror squeezing my chest like a vice isn't mine. It's Zayden's. If I leave, these civilians are all dead. We're on our own. A quick glance at the field tells me every other dragon is locked in its own battle. Tarn's tail swings out, slamming into the wyvern's hindquarters, and comes away bloody. But the fucking thing doesn't release Day. Its claws flex, burrowing deeper beneath the red's scales.
Day!
Liam's scream is raw, his voice breaking at the end. Tarn lunges, snapping at the wyvern's shoulder and drawing blood, but it's not enough. He swings around to get a better angle on the wyvern, and the force nearly costs Liam his grip, but the buckle holds. Another riderless wyvern flies at us from the right. On the right! Tarn whips his body faster than I've ever felt and rips out the throat of the new threat, shaking the wyvern like a doll, then releases his jaws and lets the thing fall hundreds of feet to the mountainside below. Then, Tarn dives to catch up with Day and the wyvern as they race toward the ground. Dread settles in my chest, ominous and heavy.
We're on our way, Zayden says,
but he'll be too late.
Violet!
Liam shouts over the wind, and I rip my attention from the gruesome battle alongside us as we spiral downward.
We have to take out the riders.
I know, I reply. We will. He just needs to hang on. They both do.
No, I mean, that's the...
Tarn lunges again, and we're thrown sideways as he rips another hole in the wyvern's wings with his teeth, raking down its tail with his talons. But the creature has Day in a deathlock. Its wings are shredded now. But it doesn't seem to care as its claws dig into Day's underbelly, like it's willing to mindlessly die to make the kill. It's going to be all right, I promise Liam, wind stinging my cheeks. It has to be all right, even though the ground rushes at us closer and closer each second. It just has to be. Day screams again, the sound weaker and higher pitched than the last. It's a cry.
We have to pull up, Tarn warns. He's dying!
Liam lunges across Tarn's back, reaching for his dragon, as if so he can touch the red dagger tail one last time. "Just hold," I start, but Day's shriek of pain closes my throat, strangling the words. He's being eviscerated, and there's nothing we can do. The wyvern roars in victory a heartbeat before they crash into the hillside with a sickening thud. The wyvern limps away on its hind legs and the talons that tip its wings. Day doesn't move. Liam's raw scream shatters my heart, and Tarn flares his wings, banking hard to keep us from the same gruesome fate.
Day!
Tarn's grief blasts through my body as he streams fire at the wyvern's retreating back, and Endarna's cry fills my head. No, if Day... is he... I can't bring myself to finish.
He's gone.
Tarn reverses course, barreling for the hillside outside the city walls where Day has fallen. No, 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 that means... Liam! I grab for my friend as we land at speed, Tarn's claws digging into the ground to stop us close to Day's body.
You only have minutes, Tarn warns.
Day, Liam whispers, falling limp against Tarn's back. I'll get you to him, I promise, already fumbling with the strap's buckle. Day's gone, I cry to Zayden, my voice a trembling mess. Liam is dying.
No.
I feel his terror, his sorrow, and his overpowering anger wrap around my mind, mixing with my own until it hurts to breathe. Minutes. We have minutes. Just hold on, I whisper to Liam, fighting not to cry as he looks up at me with those sky blue eyes, wide with shock and pain. After everything Liam has given up for me, this is the least I can do for him. I can get him today the same way I know he would carry me to Tarn or Endarna. Tarn lies down completely, flattening his massive frame as much as possible as I unstrap my thighs. Then I wrap my arms around Liam's bulky frame and we slide down Tarn's side, hitting our feet on the rocky hillside far from the trading post. Day lies a couple of dozen feet away, his body folded at an unnatural angle. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Not Day. Not Liam. They're the strongest of our year. They're the best of us.
Can't make it,